Welcome back. When you ask someone to say yes, it's often much more important than how you ask that person. It's more important than what you ask that person. What day of the week matters more than you guess. What hour of the week you ask is mission critical. What day of the month could make all the difference in the world. In fact, there are more than a few periodic cycles that are crucial to understand. Let's not pretend that when to ask is easy. It's not, or at least it has never been. Let's do this right and have you understand it clearly so you never forget one of the big puzzle pieces that have been hidden under the couch of influence for 7,000 years. For a number of years, I sold advertising. As time went on, I would manage people who sold advertising. What was a day like for people who sold advertising, whether it was me or somebody else I managed? We typically set 8 to 12 appointments a day, Monday through Thursday, possibly a few on Friday or Saturday. All in person, 55-hour week, maybe 60, was pretty standard for salespeople when I was selling advertising. For a few years after that, I did fundraising for charities, also by appointment, asking business owners and managers of businesses for sponsorships and donations. I made 10 appointments a day. Interwoven in these experiences were a couple of stints as a telemarketing sales manager and a fundraising manager for a large charity, nonprofit organization. I always assumed that my experiences were unique to me and would not be similar to other people's experiences. Most people believe similar things. People have this idea that they feel comfortable with the idea that their experiences are unique. That's really not true. The experience of one person is usually enough to set up experiments and do research to test what's learned from that person's experience. In other words, does the experience of Kevin Hogan generalize to other situations with different people involved? And I never really knew until I took my experiences to companies where I would manage fundraising or sales teams. So through thousands and thousands of appointments for which I was religious in my bookkeeping, I made some interesting I had some interesting revelations, and it turned out that when mattered a lot more than how. So when you're selling advertising, two trends emerged that seemingly had nothing to do with me or the presentation that I used. Meetings with owners and managers took place typically Monday through Friday. I found that I sold about half of my weekly advertising sale totals on Monday itself. And I also sold the highest percentage of appointments that were kept on Monday. And if you had asked me a decade ago, I would have remembered precisely what the results were. Let's call it 40%. So when I trained people, I would do everything in my power as a manager to get salespeople to see owners early in the week when possible. I worked really long, 10 to 12 hour days if possible, early in the week in particular. And these results were pretty similar in both fundraising and in selling. So for over 5 years, I sold the majority of my morning appointments, the majority. Most of the people that I talked to in the morning, 55 to 60% said yes. Appointments right before lunchtime tended to not be as impressive. My 2 p.m. appointments were exceptional, and after that I sold a thin minority of prospects the balance of the day. I can still remember my daytimer being asterisked heavily on the top of the day and relatively starless at the bottom of the day. And the 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and 6 o'clock appointments all day, all week, were just miserable. Maybe I'd sell 1 in 10. Maybe. Then when I was a phone room manager, we kept super pinpoint accurate records of tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, for sure hundreds of thousands of calls that were made for the sales company and donations when I was at the nonprofits. And the hours were 3 to 9 p.m. for some organizations I work with, 4 to 9 for others, and in all cases we were calling homeowners using a Polk directory system. The afternoon appointments we pondered should do the best, as the homeowner would have fewer distractions. That was our idea. And after dinner, we figured would be the worst. That was not the case, by the way, when we were selling coupon books, kind of like a Happenings, but I don't even know what books they have anymore. But when we were selling coupon books, that just didn't work that way. And it was not the case when we were sending people to a timeshare resort. It was not the case when we were asking for block workers, and it wasn't the case when we were asking for donations. In reality, in all cases, the opposite was the fact. Across the spectrum, we always found the same thing. On a percentage basis, we did pretty poor from 3 to 5 p.m., and that was true regardless of who was calling, whether it was me, Star sales reps, people we were hiring almost off the street, didn't matter who. The dinner hour, 5:30 to 6:30, was typically decent in results. And the rest of the evening, we were pretty brilliant. In the 2.5 hours from 6:30 to 9, we made more money per person reached by phone than in the first half of the evening by over 2 to 1. In telemarketing, whether for charity or selling, or getting people to go to a timesharing event, statistical records were everything. And I remember at one resort, the owners were expected at dinner time. We had a crummy afternoon, no surprise. This one particular day, which was around Christmas, they were blessedly late for their visit, and they arrived maybe around 7:30. Well, by 7:30, we were handing slips of paper in, like, Federal Reserve, printing, you know, reserve notes. And I was able, you know, I had no ability to explain the results that we were getting. It made no sense to me that from 7 to 9, you'd sell 2 or 3 times as many people per phone call as you would from 3 to 5:30. For, and I'm not talking about the total number of people, obviously more people at home at 8 o'clock than, say, 4 o'clock, but I mean the per call. So for years, whether making my calls or training, this simply was how it happened. And it took me a long time before I pieced together a prediction and then came across what I believe are the answers. Across nonprofit and aggressively for-profit organizations, across selling and fundraising functions, whether I was selling advertising, coupon books, timesharing, it was universally true that Monday and Tuesday generated the highest per capita sales. Wednesday and Thursday were a waste of time. There were a few blips like Friday or Friday night for telemarketing, fundraising, or for profit was excellent. Early in the morning was typically far superior to late morning. After lunch was generally quite good, but late afternoon was poor in person, and as mentioned above on the phone too. Now, each year that passed, my skills in getting to yes increased when I was out there myself. I remember many, many, many times when I would have 5 or 6 consecutive successes early in the day and then wonder if I would hear yes all day. And often my results would not hold for the final 3 to 6 appointments in the day. But many times, quite often, I was perfect through the first 5 or 6 in the day. If I had an 8, a 9, a 10, 11, a 12, and a 1, I might typically, well, not typically, but I might sell all of them a few times in the course of a month. Now, I'm assuming that you don't sell for a living, so I'm going to use a different context to let you see how this works. Self-regulation is something like self-control. Self-control is the ability to control what yourself actually does. It has nothing to do with what you think or how you feel, but what you and everyone else actually sees yourself do. So, do you scream at the kids in the heat of the moment or not? Do you steal the stuff you forgot to put on the conveyor belt at the grocery store or not? Do you get up in the morning and get right on the most important projects of the day or not? Do you hit the child who bullied your child, or do you call the parents, police, or principal? Do you eat the chocolate chip cookies when you shouldn't or not? Do you take care of the projects around the house, or do they sit and wait for another day? People can regulate or control their behavior with differing degrees of success. Everyone is internally driven to impulsive action. Self-regulation is the gasoline that keeps reaction to impulses, desires, and the like squelched. You and I generally begin our day with close to a full tank of self-regulation units. Self-regulation units, or we'll call them SRUs today, some people run out of these pretty fast in the day and live most of the day yielding to impulse after impulse after impulse, whether it's at the grocery store, at the office, at home, doesn't matter where. The impulses are to misbehave in any number of ways. Other people get better mileage per gallon of self-regulation and can last further into the day. A lot of it is circumstance dependent. A lot of it's the skill of the person and how much practice they have in self-regulation. Self-regulation for most people will run out on most days. What happens in practice is that people tend to self-regulate one area of their lives at the expense of others. You'll see why that happens in a minute. The SRUs allow you and me to control our behavior so that we can focus on and attain our desires. Self-regulation is critical to influence because once you're out of units for the day, you probably can't be influenced to do anything but the most impulsive of behaviors. If you are an influencer, you want other people to be high in self-regulation units so they can control their reactance to you, giving you a chance to cause a yes response. Talking to people who are out of units for the day is like talking to loose cannons. There are no yeses to be heard when volatility enters the picture, as you're about to see. Each time we exercise or utilize self-control, we burn up self-regulation units. You only have so much self-control at your disposal each day. Sometimes you can get some self-regulation units back through one of two behaviors, but don't count on that when self-regulation runs out at the end of your self-regulation day, because usually there's a lot more day at the end of self-regulation. Your kids are acting like normal kids this morning, and instead of killing them, you decide to sustain your wrath and allow them to live. That cost you 5 self-regulation units. Why? You used restraint, you're down to 95. The spouse said something really stupid, and you chose not to point out their temporary low IQ or social skills. That took 8 SRUs. Why? Because it took a lot more restraint not to lay it on the line with someone over 21 than someone under 13. It takes more restraint when your expectation is further to the right to keep you from spouting off at them. Now, it's almost time to head to the office. You're already down to 88 SRUs. 12 down and you haven't even gotten out the door. Self-regulation units get burned up pretty quickly. Imagine you've been reading some self-help books lately and you really want to make some changes. Lots of new goals, handy-dandy time management planner, all that kind of cool stuff. Unfortunately, people don't know the myriad of reasons that they fail. And the self-help books make it all sound so super easy. In fact, people can religiously adhere to the prescriptions in the books and typically have absolutely nothing positive come from their efforts. Certainly, it is true over the long run. Life can be a lot easier than it is right now, but only if you can understand what's really at work. The concept of SRUs is crucial to success and failure. Most people who succeed have only a hint as to why they got lucky. Or worse, they misattribute the causes of success, and when you go modeling them, nothing works. You were, by the way, down to 88. A good night's sleep will reset you back to close to 100 tomorrow, but every time you exercise self-restraint or intentionally control your behavior, you use up or burn up self-regulation units today. As soon as you use your daily supply, you are out. Now, how fast or slowly can 88 units run out? And then what happens? Well, start with the drive to work. You get cut off. You yell at the driver. What happens? No self-regulation units are burned up. The bad behavior pays off because you yelled at the driver. You were not restrained. It didn't take any units. Then it happens again 5 minutes later, but this time you chose not to have road rage. You don't honk the horn, you don't scream, and you use 4 units. Now you're down to 84. You look at the donuts that you bought at Dunkin' Donuts. That didn't take any units up. You could eat them. No SRUs would be used up if that was the case. You decide to be healthier and not eat them. You'll save them for the kids tonight. Your self-control just cost you 6 more units. You're down to 78. Now you get to the office and throw the donuts into the trash on the way in. That's 5 more units. Had you eaten one of the donuts, you'd have actually added SRUs back into the brain and the body. One donut could perhaps have bought you 4 to 7 units. Sugar is one of the few things that actually boosts self-regulation. Glucose, to be specific. Your decision cost you precious units but saved your arteries. You're now down to 73. You get to the desk, and there is an envelope indicating you have to fire someone. This doesn't use any units up. You fire the person. That doesn't use any units up. You control and compose yourself, choosing not to yell at your boss who made you do the firing, and you're disgusted with her to the point where you could smack her a good one. Your composure cost you 10 units. You're now down to 63. Customers call with complaints this morning. You stay cool under the gun several times before noon. You control your words, your temper, your attitude, and at no point do you lose it. You keep your thoughts inside of your brain and out of your mouth. 19 units evaporate. Lunch comes, and everyone is heading to the nice restaurant across the street. Co-workers are all enjoying drinks. Alcohol reduces inhibition. You see the fantastically tasty food options, refuse all of them, opting for salad and iced tea. 14 more units are used up. No glucose pretty much means no SRUs are replenished. Dieting definitely has benefits, but it does not benefit self-regulation units. You're down to 30. Your co-workers rib you for your perfect and prudish choices, and you choose not to return the volley. That uses up 4 units. You're down to 26. You get back to work, open the mail on the desk, you see the IRS has chosen to audit you. 0 units used up here. You've done nothing wrong. They want $30,000 in extra taxes for some mumbo-jumbo reason. Still 0 units used up. You are angry. Still 0 units used up. You throw the letter and all the mail against the wall. Still 0 units used up. Your rage at this ongoing injustice grows, and you choose not to call them and tell them to go jump and stay jumped. That uses up 12 units. You're down to 14. You open the desk drawer, grab a stash of M&Ms, and munch away. 0 units are used, and in fact, you gain probably 2 bonus units that are pumped into your gas tank because of the glucose change. An employee comes in whining they need the rest of the day off to go home and take care of a sick spouse. Ridiculous, because they're taking the day off and the spouse is sick. But nevertheless, you roll your eyes, you think of how unnecessary this is, but choose not to tell her off. 6 units are used up, you send her away. You're down to 10. The rest of the day is engaged in open, straightforward debate over corporate policy. 0 units used. The drive home is uneventful. You are exhausted when you get home. People expect you to cook. Instead of telling people to cook for themselves, you decide to just let it slide and start cooking. You make a nice dinner with a big fruit salad that all by itself could give you several units, but you're never going to get to it. 5 units have been used up. You're down to 5. The spouse returns from her day, and she is in a good mood. 0 units. It drives you nuts that their day was good and yours was bad. 0 units. You choose not to complain about your day or point out how wimpy their job is. 5 units used. You are at 0. Everyone sits down for dinner. The kids start spouting off about how sick they are of their teachers, the new rules relating to dress and other behaviors. You cut like a knife into the conversation. You know, in the real world, you'll be praying for days like that. Big deal. Now, grow up, shut the hell up, and pass the damn vegetables. The place goes silent. You are obviously a psychopath, mentally disturbed, deranged, and when you pull out the self-help books or whatever, there are no more self-control units available for your behavior. You eat pasta like a horse. You down food that tastes good. You slam the door. You have no control of your behaviors. You simply do what you feel like doing, and it's actually, it feels cathartic, you think. No one wants to talk to you, and you don't really care. You just want peace. Reasonable enough. You might get one or two units from the down food, maybe. The idea of doing anything other than watching a TV show is laughable. There will be no self-improvement. You want to have a drink, relax, hang out. Well, but what about working on a part-time project from home? Not a chance. You've had it. Tomorrow you will pick up the pieces, but until then, it's beer and popcorn, baby. The popcorn could possibly bump you up a few units. The beer might briefly give you a unit, but you'll lose it when it reduces inhibition in 15 minutes. The answer? For today, know that one change will help you enormously. The amount of SRUs that you get back every day is not absolutely fixed, but it is not easy to change the size of the gas tank on your car either. Also know that SRUs are given more generously to those who sleep well and to those who develop toughness in their use of self-regulation. What knocks 10 SRUs today might only knock off 8 a year from now. The influencer must have self-regulation units when influencing others, or they won't be able to influence others at all. The other person that the influencer is influencing must also have self-regulations to be open to influence. But on this day, you just ran out. Your ability to influence is shot. Anyone asking you for anything aside from being scorned and beaten will hear no. If you need to be influential, you need to work on these projects, meetings, contacts that will give you the future you want first each day. You will not have the SRUs to fight an empty gas tank for long. That said, this doesn't mean that you have to be a day person instead of a night person. There is a great advantage to being a night owl, and that's the ability to get stuff done because no one else is around to email you or ask you to do favors or to go to the doctor or to interact. You get a chance to get things done without distraction and disturbance that would normally happen in the course of a business day. Specifically, with no distractions at 1 o'clock, you can work without the requirement of self-regulation. There's no one to upset you, bother you, interrupt you, or cut you off in traffic. You can get stuff done on 0 self-regulation units when there is no additional requirement for self-control. If the work you're doing at night is creative and fun, fascinating, and exciting, it requires no self-regulation units. That said, building a website, writing a program, unless they're fun, are best done at the crack of dawn or before lunch, a long time before lunch. Each sales call I had was an interaction of two people's self-regulation units. The same is true for you. Every situation where you will find that you are influencing someone or not is an interaction of two people, both of whom require SRUs. Imagine trying to influence the lady at the dinner table in the scenario we talked about earlier. She'd have to have someone's head on a platter. You don't want to try to be persuasive when someone is low on self-regulation units. Two factors are interacting. First, you're at your worst as far as presenting your best self. And second, you're sitting opposite or on the phone with someone who is at her worst. With only a couple of exceptions as the day goes on, your self-regulation units are drained hour by hour. As they are lowered or when they are gone, so is your emotional intelligence. The answer, more often than not, to anything you ask will simply be no. You want to communicate with someone when they're high in self-regulation units. The more units they have to deal with you and your presentation, suggestion, idea, the better chance you have of them saying yes. The science matches the years of sales and fundraising experience. It mirrors hundreds of thousands of tracked phone calls, fundraising presentations, and sales requests by several hundred different people. You might be thinking, but don't I want to see someone when their self-discipline is low so they're more likely to buy from me? Well, good question. There are some things that people buy and do that are more likely to occur when self-regulation is low. They are more likely to break their diet. They are more likely to grab a cigarette. They are more likely to throw caution to the wind. Yes, they will be more likely to go to McDonald's, to the bar, or to the club. They will buy a Reese's when they're in the checkout line at Target. This is when they'll get in trouble and cheat on the spouse. But in general, they are much more reactant, and that means no to your wonderful products and services. They don't want to listen to you when they're out of SRUs. They want ice cream. But this still doesn't explain why Monday was far and away the best sales day in the week for all businesses. It doesn't explain why Friday was the worst, except Friday night for telemarketing. With the benefit of hindsight, lots of research, and a lot of modeling, I think I have the answer. People think and live in terms of diurnal periods or time periods, hours, days, weeks, months, years, and decades. Time markers are both psychological and they are also real, quite often, in nature. In the USA, in the 21st century, most people who work do so Monday through Friday. Most people take the weekend off. The hours they work in the course of the day are 8 to 5, unless they're in retail, of course. More people die on Monday than any other day of the week. People like Garfield the cat tend to hate Mondays. They're more likely to take Monday off than any other day of the week. On the flip side, their body is coming off perhaps 2 days of rest. They've restored their self-regulations back to 100. I believe that Monday morning for most people is the time when people are at their maximum number of SRUs in the course of a week. This is true for the first day of a month. For years, stock traders have known that if you buy on the close of the last trading day of the month and sell on the close of the first trading day of the month, you're going to make a lot of money over the long run. The point is that time frames are not only important, but because they are so culturally and seasonally specific, we can predict how people will respond, when people will respond favorably to whenever and whatever it is you sell. If you own a bar and you want people to drink a lot, Monday morning is when people have the most SRUs, and Friday before lunch is the lowest level. If you own a bar, there's no point to being open Monday morning, but Friday for lunch is a good time. Perhaps you wake up Monday morning, hypothetically, with 100 SRUs. If that's the case, then you wake up Tuesday with about 95, Wednesday, 90, Thursday, 80, Friday, 50. Friday about 5 p.m., your SRUs take a brief spike up to perhaps 50 or 60, where most days around 5 p.m., you'd be closer to 10 or 15. I believe this is because people are excited and invigorated that the weekend is here. The Friday night bump in sales that we had telemarketing is likely part of that kind of euphoria that briefly restores, say, 40 points of self-regulation units ever so briefly, until it's time to go out and you have permission to eradicate all self-regulation units. And you want to influence the person when they are out of SRUs. You want to sell them life insurance, maybe? A car, a dog, a timeshare? Obviously not. If you or what you have to sell, promote, or suggest is not something the person impulsively resists that causes self-regulation units to drain, then you probably don't want to try to sell it when the person is out of SRUs. Eventually, all companies I worked with experienced almost identical experiences, thus we were able to make changes. For example, setting appointments on Friday when the caller and the listener both have 10 SRUs was good strategy, but asking to see someone on Friday for an appointment is fiscal suicide. Setting your best appointments, those that have the greatest reward and the greatest loss if you lose them, should go on Monday morning, but not at 11:15 a.m. If you can't get early morning, you should shoot for Tuesday morning. If that doesn't work, then you go for Monday 2 p.m., but no later. Next would be Wednesday morning. What would they prefer? Most people would prefer meeting, have an appointment, or get asked out when they aren't all stressed and freaked out. As a rule, assume people like to say yes to you. That assumption then can stand on this premise. You want good stuff to happen to this person. You want them to experience good things around you and in life. Therefore, you would only really ask for anything when they're comfortable, at ease, at their best, and experiencing a state of mind where seeing you and talking to you is experienced as a benefit to them. If you want to ask the girl out, you want to think about how she will perceive your offer. Be honest with yourself. Are you candy in the checkout lane? If so, ask her anytime. Are you the iffy guy? Catch her early in the week and preferably in the morning. Understanding who you are in the mind of the person you're asking to see is obviously more important than any line you could say in the proposal or suggestion. Remember, ask the judge at 9 o'clock a.m. if you can go free, and he'll say yes. Ask the judge at 11:30 or 4 o'clock, he's going to say no. If you understand the science behind the layout of a grocery store, you will forever lock the concept of self-regulation units in your brain. When you go grocery shopping, you know you should come home with lettuce, carrots, apples, blueberries, whole grain bread, and all that stuff that's good and healthy. And you know that you should probably cut back on candy bars, ice cream, candy, sugar, drinks, and snacks. The grocery store management knows you struggle with this and therefore organizes the store in the only profitable way they can. When you enter the store, you're relatively high on self-regulation units. You know your mission as it is each week and typically fail to eat healthy. You come to the healthy foods first in the store. That means it requires no power of will to say no. Instead, these are easy yes, of course decisions. Each decision takes a few SRUs away, but only a few for each one. And you move like the mouse in the maze through the store. You find neutral decisions in the middle, things like paper plates or cups. At the far end is the ice cream, frozen pizzas. And once you are in line, you add the problems of Reese's, Snickers, French silk pie, chocolate ice cream to your cart. You tend to do so, particularly if you have loaded up with other stuff that's good for you. The taller the pile in your cart, the more SRUs you probably have used en route to the register. By the time you've spent your hour making 75 decisions, you're out of SRUs, you grab a piece of pie, Reese's and Snickers, you deserve it after all. You have no more power to say no for any reason. It's all going on a credit card anyway. The more decisions you make before you hit the sugar and the fat, the better for the store's profits. Once self-regulation units are used up, then anything goes. Caution is thrown to the wind. Self-control is gone. Once self-regulation units are used up, people say, screw it. I don't care. I want to get out of here. Catch people when their SRUs are holding up, and you do well. I'll see you on the next file.